Good morning. Thanks for coming. Merry Christmas to you. I love that play. And I'm so proud of our magnetic youth. I'm going to talk about the play in a minute, but let me start with a question. My question is this. What is the best gift that you've ever received? What is the best gift you've ever received? Share with your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, or one of the best. What's one of the best gifts? Turn to your neighbor and share with them what is one gift you really liked or you thought was really cool. Well, when I was thinking about the best gifts I've received, I was taken way back to childhood, and a couple of gifts came to mind. This was one. This was one of my favorite gifts. It was called Johnny Astro. And I know the kids are going to look at that like, what is that? Basically, it's a fancy fan. And all it did was you had a balloon, and then you turned the fan on. You could control how strong it was, and then the fan would push the balloon into the air, and then you could move the balloon around. That was like, here's another one. Verdi Bird. Did anyone have Verdi Bird? Okay, where's the older folks? So it had to be. Oh, Derek Tamura. Yeah, Verdi Bird, right? It would fly around, but it would just go in a circle because it would be connected by that rod to the thing, and it would just fly around. You could fly. It would actually fly in a circle, and you could pick up things. And actually, when I saw this, I go, I think I want a radio control helicopter this year for Christmas. But that was one. But that was, I think, though, the best gift I ever received was right here, this. That's my wife, Dale. And we met at a summer Christian camp in 1980. And we got close very quickly. But she lived in Southern California, and I lived in Sacramento. So afterwards, we kind of kept in touch. But, you know, that was the summer. And then in October, around my birthday, secretly, as a surprise, my friends flew Dale from Southern California, and they hid her in Sacramento. And then they created this secret rendezvous, the special surprise rendezvous in San Francisco. And I remember we were on Pier 39. They said, we want to take you out for your birthday. So we were at Pier 39 hanging out, went into the shop, and then there she was. I was like, what are you doing here? And since we got married, that was probably one of the best gifts that I received, right? When they surprised me with her. And so actually, one of the best gifts I ever got wasn't a thing, but it was a person. You know, the Christmas play today, it was about the best gift ever. And it's not money, it's not a gift card, it's not something you want, some material thing, but it was a person. It's a person. The best gift ever, the person. You know, I think this Christmas program was one of the best we've ever had at Catalyst. You know why? Because it was written completely, directed, filmed, produced, acted in completely by our youth. You know, when I was playing this guy, I go, even the parents, I wonder if they're going to actually have older people to parents. And they, nope, it was all youth. It was all youth. And, you know, it wasn't about a performance, but it was the youth sharing with us a message. And I love that because at our church, we want to empower the next generation. We want to give them a platform. We want them to let them know that they have a voice because it's not about a performance. At Catalyst, we're about community. We're about a community. We're about God's family. We're about sharing and giving and listening and I love it because the youth, they use their voice. And they, through this play, through the writing of the play, they were communicating a message to us, to our church family, to their parents, to the adults. And so I think it's very, very powerful. Now, what were they trying to say to us? What was the message that they were trying to communicate? I think we need to listen. We need to listen very carefully to what they were trying to say and to their hearts. What are the things on their hearts? How do they see life? How do they see Christmas? How do they see family? How do they see God? And there were three things from the play that really stood out to me. The first was this: we're too busy. We're too busy. When they look around at society, when they talk to their friends, what's in their heart is people, adults, parents, too busy. Too busy. It's interesting because last year, right, we had the lockdown. And everyone was forced to reset. Everyone was forced. Our schedules got totally wiped out. And so we had to reset. We had to reevaluate. We were forced to declutter our schedules. But it's amazing, isn't it, how quickly our schedules have gotten filled up again. I run into people and it's like, busy, 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 busy. We've just filled up our schedules again with all these different activities. You know, it's interesting from that, when you look at that, that you realize that time is very precious. You can't buy more of it. You can't borrow it. You can't save it. Once it's gone, it's gone. And there's only a finite amount of time. Just a finite amount of time that you have. And when it's gone, and when it's done, then you're done. It's over. You know, there's this diagram here I found online. And this diagram talks about time we spend doing stuff in a lifetime. And this illustrates a typical like lifespan of like 80 years. And so on this, it says in the upper left, of the 80 years, we sleep about, it's in months, 318 months, so it's about 26 and a half years. 26 and a half years of our life, of an 80-year life, we spend sleeping. Okay? And let's work down the left, working about 11 years of our life. We spend working, waiting in line. How much? 5 years. 5 years of our lives waiting in line, doing housework. 4 years, probably some more than others, but 4 years. Going to the movies, 2 years. 2 years. Let's work on the right side. Going to school, 3.5 years of our lives going to school. Eating, 6 years of our life eating. Going to the toilet, 1 year. 1 year of our lives is spent going to the toilet. Looking for lost possessions, 1 year of our life. And that leaves us with less than 20 years to spend. We have less than 20 years to spend of our life. What are you doing with your 20 years? How are you spending your 20 years? The Bible says time is precious. Psalm 90:12 says this: so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Know that life is short. Know that our days are numbered. Know that time is limited and you only have so much. And once you spend it, it's gone. Or if you waste it, it's gone and you can never get it back. So the psalmist says, Teach us to number our days, because when we know that time is limited, time is short, we will have a wise heart. I like how the New Living Translation puts it. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. And then Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Time is precious. And I think that was one of the messages that I got from the play. Time is precious and we're too busy. And that leads me to the second thing I got out of the play. It's when you're using your time, are you focused on using your time on what's really important? And in the hearts of the youth, what's really important? People. People are what's important. Relationships are what is important. In the play, Aubrey felt neglected. He felt neglected by his parents because they were too busy. Too busy doing stuff, too busy at work, too busy all kinds of things. You know, being too busy, it's not a condition that happens to us. It's a choice we make. It's the priorities we have. You know, I do that too. People ask me and they say, oh yeah, I'm really busy. Like someone did it to me, right? Like someone made me do it. Like someone enforced their schedule upon me. But in reality, it's me. It's the choices that I have made. It's the priorities that I place in life. You know, I think the message from the youth and from the play that they're trying to communicate to us is that value relationships over riches. Value relationships over recreation. Value relationships over certain responsibilities. People, your relationships is the most important thing here on earth. And that was a very, very powerful word, a word from the Lord, from our youth to us. You know, God Himself demonstrated how important people and relationships are. Relationships, people, you, was so important to Him that He was willing to pay an enormous price. You are so important to Him. You, as a person, are so valuable to Him that He was willing to give up His one and only Son. That Jesus Himself was willing to sacrifice Himself so that through Him we can have a relationship with God. That's how important we are. In the play, Aubrey says, there's one thing that's just better than any gift or event, right? And then the parents go, even more than PS5, PlayStation, Xbox, Wii, right? And he says, yep, His name is Jesus. A gift to the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. I'm sure you've heard that. But then this is John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. So many people in the world are afraid of God because they think God wants to condemn them. But that is completely opposite of what God wants. God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, it says in 3:17, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God doesn't want to condemn people. People are valuable to him. He wants a relationship, a personal relationship with each one. He doesn't want to condemn. In fact, he gave his own son, and Jesus sacrificed his own life, and Jesus came as a baby on Christmas, and that's why Christmas is so powerful, because it says God is not a condemning God. He is a loving God that will do whatever he can to establish relationship with you, even sacrificing his own son. And so, I think those are two powerful words from the Lord. We're too busy and focus on what's important, people and relationships. And then the third message from them, receive God's gift. Receive God's gift. This Christmas, receive his gift of Jesus and be part of God's family. You know, at the beginning, I asked you, what was the best or one of the best gifts you ever received, right? I asked you that. For me, it was Johnny Astro. It wasn't Verdi Bird. It wasn't Dale. As special and precious and how much I love her, the best gift was Jesus. But you know what? It wasn't even Jesus, per se. It was Jesus coming enabled me to have the greatest gift. You know what that is? God himself. Because it's through Jesus, God says, I want to give myself to you. I'm inviting you to know me. I'm inviting you to have relationship with me. And that is the greatest gift you can ever have. How long will you live? 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years, 30 years? Whatever it is in the grand scheme of things, our lives are finite. They're finite. There is an end. There is a point where we will all die. But the beautiful thing about God and creation is he has given us consciousness. He has given us the ability to choose. And through our choice, God says, if you use your choice to receive my son, Jesus, then you can have connection with the infinite. We as finite people can have connection, can have relationship with the infinite, with the eternal. And is there anything that we would give up in life? Is there anything we would gain for convenience or for pleasure or for whatever that would forfeit relationship with an infinite, almighty, all good, loving God that wants the very best for you? You know, let me just close with this story. I've shared it before. But my son, Matt, he's 28, but when he was 2 years old, he almost died. He could have easily died. Our family, my two older daughters and my wife Dale and I and Matt, we went to our previous church and we had to do something at the church. So we got in the car, we went to the church, and it has a long driveway, the building, and then in the back was a church office. So we had to do some errands, we had to do some things there, some office things. So I remember we went and we were in the parking lot. I was in the parking lot with the kids. Dale was inside doing some things. And then she needed help. And so the girls were playing around. They were, I think, like 7 and 5, and then Matt was 2. And I said, okay, guys, watch Matt for a second. I just got to go help mom. I went in, and I was just in the office for maybe 30 seconds. I come out of the office, come into the parking lot. I go, where's Matt? And the girls are riding their bikes again. We don't know. So I go, Matt. So I look, and I went around the corner, and there's the long driveway. I went around the corner, I looked down the driveway, and there was Matt. He was like 2/3 of the way walking down the driveway towards this busy street. It's a busy street. And what was scary is I could not see the street. So I couldn't see cars coming because of the building. And I saw him, I got, oh my gosh, he's walking towards the street. So I yell out, Matt! Matt! And he stopped, and he looked back. I go, Matt, come back here, come on, come back, come to Dad. And then he turned and looked at the street, he turned back. I go, Matt, you come back here right now. You come back here right now, come on, Matt, come on, come back here right now. And he looked, and then this was a mistake, I did this. And once I took that step towards him, he got this grin on his face, this mischievous look on his face, and then he turns and he starts laughing and he starts running towards the street. And my heart just sank. I was like, oh my gosh. So I started running after him as fast as I could. And his little legs are taking him, and he's getting closer to the street. He's getting near the sidewalk. And at some point, I thought, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And I ran towards him, and he was still a ways away. He went down the driveway. He got to the gutter, and then, thank the Lord, he fell into the gutter. He fell because his little legs, I couldn't handle that little incline. He fell into the gutter. Right after he fell, a car went, shoo. And I got to him. I picked him up. I was like, oh, Matt. And then, you know, I was angry, but scared, really. I was because I was scared. I said, like, Matt, don't do that again. Don't do that. And I was just holding him. And with that instance, I believe God gave me a little taste of the Father's heart for us. The Father's heart for you. You know, I could picture in my mind Matt running down that driveway towards the danger and towards what I believe is death. And I just wanted to save him. There's many people, maybe some of you, you have your back turned to the Father, and you're running towards the street. You're running towards danger, and you're running towards death. And you might not even be aware of it. But the Father is pursuing you. The Father had called you to be here today to hear this message because he wants you to know he is running after you. He wants to save you. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for you because he wants you to know him. And he wants you to be safe. That's what Christmas is all about. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message that the youth want to share with us. Are you too busy, caught up in life? Do you need to stop and think about how you're spending your time? And this Christmas, do you need to lift up your eyes and see there's not a condemning God in heaven, but there's a loving Father that wants relationship with you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, Christmas is such a powerful time because it reminds us of your heart for us. Lord, we confess that we get too busy, too many activities, too many things. Lord, that we don't take the time and we don't prioritize the people in our lives the way we want to, the way we need to. But Lord, thank you that you've gathered us here this morning in your family to hear your word, to hear and see through the play of the youth, and to again be reminded that you are pursuing us, that you did the greatest act of love that's ever been done. Jesus, that you came as a baby to save us. Thank you, Lord. And if there's anyone here that you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus, the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That's a promise of God, that if you do that, you will be saved. You will have a relationship with the Father in heaven. All your wrongs, all your sins will be forgiven. And that you will have a hope and a future with a God who loves you. If there's anyone that wants to take that step, now is the time. Don't put it off. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. Now, today is the day. If anyone wants to do that, all I want you to do is just raise your hand. Let's keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. But if you want to receive Jesus this morning, if you want to receive his gift of life, eternal life, then I just want you to look up at me, maybe raise up your hand, and I'll know that you want to do that. Does anyone here want to do that this morning? Anyone here? Just have to receive it. Just say yes. Anyone here want to do that this morning? Okay. Lord, thank you so much. We celebrate you. We worship you, for you are good. And we know you love us because you sent your son Jesus for us. Thank you, Lord. And we just want to just sing love songs to you, songs of worship and gratitude. We wanted to sing to you this morning as we close. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.